Welcome, everyone. So good to
Welcome.
see everybody. I've been looking forward to coming together with you guys today. I know we're going to have an exciting time. I've just been spending some time with the Lord. And before we even begin, I want us to close our eyes and just kind of tune in to this vibrational sound that we're listening to. It'll start to change the resonant frequency that we've walked into the meeting with. So just close your eyes and just be still and just allow your breath to control your thoughts and pay attention to what you're thinking. As we get still before the Lord, I want us to think about the abundance of our God. And I want to use as an example the universe. Physics has discovered that in all the places that they call dark matter or vacuums in space, that there's more energy than all the known stars and physical matter in the universe. So when you start to comprehend how great and vast infinity is, you'll get a glimpse of the abundance that's on the inside of you. Not in the material realm. What your spirit is constructed from, how you were formed by your creator. This gives you a taste of the infinite abundance that you are created from and in. So when people think about lack or some kind of problem, it's because they don't have their attention on the vastness of who they are on the inside. When you breathe a breath, do you hold on to it, thinking there won't be any more? Do you grasp and hold it? No, you're confident that the breath will be there every time you need it. You don't question it. That's the way everything is that you need. It's on the inside of you. Not on the outside. It only becomes physical when it's understood and settled on the inside of you. The outside is not the cause. The outside is the effect. It mirrors what you believe. It has nothing to do with your reality. Those numbers in your checkbook, they don't decide your future. The numbers you see on a sheet are shadows of the past, a frozen moment in the past. They're not the reality. Reality is this present moment. There is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow. There's only right now. And the reason most people are scattered and weighed down by circumstances is because they can't be still and recognize the vastness of who they are, the infinity of who they are. It's like a person that walks into a room filled with treasures and focuses on a corner where there's nothing, walks out of the room and tells everyone there is nothing there. That's the attention. Like right now, you may be in a room where your refrigerator is running. There's things going on all around you that you don't hear. The blood rushing in your ears, you don't hear it because that's not where your attention is. Where we put our attention is where our energy goes, and that's our reality. That's our awareness. Today we're going to focus on where the reality really lies. And after this meeting is over, you're going to have a totally different understanding of the power that God created you with, and how you're living so below who you really are. And it's not to condemn you, it's just to refocus you. So please pay close attention. Those who have their Bibles, turn to Genesis, the first chapter. Let's look at verse 26. Everybody knows this, but you're going to hear it from a different place inside of you today. And it's going to resonate and change the frequency that you hear and attend to. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We don't really understand the depths of what that image is. God is spirit. God is spirit. The spirit has no image, neither do we. In his image, we have been created. In his likeness, we move and have our being. Man was created both male and female to reproduce that spiritual image throughout the earth. Just meditate on that for a second. Now turn to John 6:63. I want to give us a foundation that we can build on today. These are Jesus's words. "It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." When Jesus spoke, they weren't to be understood from the mental condition of mankind. They were supposed to be heard inside the spirit of all men. And inside your spirit, you can understand the eternal message of what Jesus speaks. Because every time he speaks, it's not for this dimension. It's to change you dimensionally. Because the minute we are born, we are taught that this physical reality that we call reality, this physical realm, is reality. And these five tyrants that we bow to every day, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, all of those tyrants tell us what reality is. That was not what Jesus came to expound on. He came to explain the image and likeness that you're created in has nothing to do with what you believe as reality. That every time you condition yourself and feed the physical with your energy, you are bowing to creatures less than you. You're no longer taking your rightful place that he said to take dominion in Genesis. Dominion doesn't mean something harsh. It just means that they are your servants, not your master. And that reality has nothing to do with who you are. Who you are is so much greater. And when your eyes start to awaken to that, it's going to be frightening. But that's a good fear, not a bad fear. Because That is where truth starts to flood your senses and your realities change. And the words you hear that Jesus speaks, you will always hear. That's why he said, I have to go so that the Spirit, your teacher, the Holy Spirit, will teach you and tell you what I've said. And that Holy Spirit is inside of us, and it is the imaginations that he gives us of the greatness of who we are. And not to focus on what these material, physical images project. Those are the mirror images of our past beliefs, but they are fading away the greater you become connected to that inner man. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandments in the law? And he replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. The reality of that has been lost on people for so long. Your neighbor is yourself. Everything you see in the physical realm are the images of you in other people to teach you why you can't receive your greatest desires. And I'm going to say that again. I've told you before about the world we create by what we believe. That is so real. All the people in your world, they're the actors by God to train you, to show you your weaknesses, to show you why you can't hold the glory He wants to expose through you. See, life doesn't happen to you, it happens through you. And when you recognize that you are the author of the world you create, it's like a person that goes to a movie theater and he's watching a movie and he sees something on the screen he doesn't like. Well, you don't run up there and attack the screen. You change the film in the projector. We are controlling the world we live in from our misconception of who we are. We are heirs. We have been giving everything we could possibly want. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what did he say? Turn to Mark 11. Look at verse 24. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you have them. The will was added by someone else. If you go to the original text, you have them now. You never have them in the future. You have them now. The reason you don't see them manifest instantly is because the physical realm is slow on purpose. It's a machine, it's dead, it can't give you anything. You make it happen, it's your world. The greater access you have to your spirit, your spiritual realm, the realm that you create from, this inner soul that God breathed into you. He actually didn't breathe in, he breathed from, creates the physical realm you walk in. It's faithful, it's a faithful mirror. And when we bow to the shadows, we're just looking at past beliefs. We're looking at things that happened yesterday. And there are echoes of what we've been telling ourselves. The inner dialogue you have is manifested. See, because we are spirit beings, every thought we have is a seed we plant inside of our spirit. We water that seed with our thoughts, our attention, our fears. They're the poison that either propagates the seed or kills it. We're creators, folks. This world that you create is yours to direct. It's yours to write the script for. Jesus gave us insight into the dimensions of his Father. And when he told his disciples, let's look at that. Go to John. It's in chapter 14, verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 20 talks about a day. It talks about an hour. It talks about a time when you know that you're in him and he's in you. When that day comes, you will recognize that creative force that I've been speaking to you about this morning. That is the reality of the creation that God planted inside each creature he created. We're co-creators with him. Whatever you desire, when you ask and you believe, it's done. You don't need to plant the seed and the next morning rise to see if the seed is growing. You need to trust that whatever you say and believe and where your attention is and doesn't wander back and forth, that seed will grow. So if you want to change the material realm to reflect who you are, then you have to water the seed of him in you and you in him. And whatever you desire, whatever. God will give you whatever you want. You want money, you want good health, you want a new house. It doesn't matter because he knows you're in him and he's in you. There's no right, wrong, or indifference. Think of it this way. Think of your, I think I have a picture. Think of your inner mind, your mind, as an inner consciousness. That is where your thoughts are. That's where you are. This is the inner mind, what you're focusing on, what the conversations you have that you don't verbally speak. That's what you're thinking about. That's what you're meditating on when nobody's around. And then your outer world is your subconscious. You think of your inner mind as the male, and you think of your subconscious as the female. Now, what makes that seed germinate is knowing. When you know that you are believing from inside of the Spirit of God, not from circumstances that has influenced what you think, but from inside your spirit, you know the seed you want. I want divine health. I want abundance. I want my family to find the presence of God in their life. Whatever it is you want, you plant that seed into your subconscious mind and you water it by knowing it's done. How many of you have had a miracle in your life that you know that you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that it came from God? All of us, right? Nobody can come to you and tell you that didn't happen because you know it happened. That's the knowing I'm talking about. That is what germinates that seed. And you never leave that place of knowing. Every day you wake up and you think about, I know that's coming to pass. I know it's settled. I know I don't have to check to see if that seed's growing because I planted it in fertile ground. And that's where your focus is. You don't look at circumstances and say, okay, well, that check didn't come. My bank balance still looks bad, and I've got debts. That's digging up the seed. Nothing in the physical realm happens overnight. You've been living out your life, and this is what you've produced in the physical realm. Look around you. You've been proving that's working. Only you've been looking at the external realm as the cause. We are the cause. The physical realm is the effect. We've had it backwards all along. And when that's settled in your heart and in your mind, then that's when you start loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And when that process starts to take hold of you, you're going to explode with revelation from Christ. Because you're going to start hearing words that were never written in the Bible. You're going to start seeing Him do things that were never written in the Bible. It says at the end of John, if everything Jesus did was written down, there wouldn't be books to hold it. Doesn't mean you can't see it. Doesn't mean it's not visible to those who are living in the spirit dimension. Okay, well, let's talk about time a little bit. Time is not our master. Time is the illusion that makes this physical realm so real to us, because we think we're physical beings. We're not physical beings. We're spirit beings. We're not living in a linear dimension. We're living in a multiple dimension. Many dimensions at once. In fact, Einstein created a block universe theory. And in this block universe theory, he says, past, present, and future all exist simultaneously. Quantum physics, 20 years later, proved that was right with their superposition, which means everything exists simultaneously outside a linear dimension, because there is no past and future. There's only present. So what that means for us, if you want to change your physical condition, you have to change your state of being. It's like you go into a house and you live in one room. In that one room is how you think, how you feel, which we've said many times before, that is your state of being. That's your personality. That's your personal reality. So in that state of being, in that room, your personal reality is what you draw your experiences, knowledge, and beliefs from. That's how we're all shaped. But what Einstein is saying, and what physics is saying now, the minute we're born, everything we could possibly be, everything we could possibly want, already exists in a different state of being. Our responsibility is to identify what it is we want, who it is we want to be, who it is we believe God is calling us to be, and move from that room to this room and say, okay, that's my new state of being. And don't let anything around you distract you from changing the way you think and the way you feel. Because that's where you plant the seeds and water them with that new revelation that your attention is what changes your condition. We have to fight the demands and the desires to bow to circumstances, to bow to the shadows that we think are real. We have to understand that as spirit beings, there is not anything in that physical realm that's going to give you what you need. Everything you need is right here. And that's what Christ did at resurrection. That was the whole purpose of Him overcoming death, because this world is founded on the fear of death. The reason people bow to circumstances is because they're afraid of physical death. We know it, but it doesn't keep us from bowing, does it? How about the person that loses their wallet? Does terror go through your heart or your phone nowadays? Does terror go through your mind? Of course, because the condition of losing is so ingrained in our hearts and in our minds. Losing what? You can't possibly lose. That's the whole purpose of understanding spirit. There is no loss as a spirit being. You are everything you need here. You don't believe it because your senses can't tell you. You know what I'm telling you. You already know inside of you, it's already resonating with you. One of the reasons I learned what I'm teaching you now is a long time ago, I used to fast quite a bit. And the Holy Spirit told me there was a day coming that fasting food would not be my goal. It would be fasting thoughts and understanding that the mental diet is so much more critical than fasting food. Because your mental diet will change not only what you intake physically, but what you think spiritually. And when that day started to arrive and I've started to see things that I'm just now able to vocalize with my friends, it's revolutionary, folks. You don't have to be trapped where you think you are. There's not anything that's weighing you down but what you believe. And it's so profound and easy that it doesn't sound like it's true, because we've been taught anything of value costs you. It's effort. You have to fight to get what you want. No, you have to be detached to get what you want. When you detach yourself from thinking anything out there is what you need, the power of that need diminishes. And so does the thought frequency. We've spoken often about frequency. We've spoken often about how if you change the frequency inside of you, you start to attract so much more and so much, just a different reality. And that's very true. And it's never been more true than when you start to understand that the present moment is so pregnant with resonant frequencies that you cannot even imagine, that it starts to tune you without your interference or without you trying to do anything. And that's the greatest revelation you'll understand, that when you take your hands off of trying to control and you detach yourself from trying to control anything, God already has things operating to make it work for you. It's been, like I said before, it's that being was present all along. You just have to step into it. It doesn't mean you're going to forsake or lose anything. It's going to open your understanding to such greater revelation that the world will be just pregnant with opportunity. Okay, we're talking about time. Time is the story our mind tells about change, because change is real. You see the sun coming up and you see it go down. You see the earth spin. Change is real, but time is not. There's no place where time is consistent across the planet. It's a creation of man for part of the whole illusion of believing that we have to bow to circumstances, that we have to get a job, that we have to work. When your son or your daughter ask you for food, did you withhold it? No. Do you think your father will withhold anything from you? No. It's your doubt and unbelief, which is the sin, that creates all the circumstances you live out. When you trust God, the way you trust breathing the next breath of air, doors open. Life changes, and you don't have to put your hand on anything. You just observe it. It's like the thoughts you have. You don't fight to change them. You just observe them and gently go back to that place and that new state of being in that new room and start physically understanding that you're not the same and you're not going to respond to the circumstances you used to respond to. That has to be the inner dialogue you have. For example, past and future not the same. Let me explain that. You can tell me, okay, but I know I had the experience in the past. I could smell the experience. You can't go back there. The only thing you can do about the past is bring that memory into the present. You can't go to the past. You can bring past experiences and memories, but they're back into the present when you remember them. And if you want to, you can actually revise those past memories. You can revisit those past memories, and instead of hearing your mother or your father say something that cuts you or hurts you, you can change that conversation. Change that conversation to say, you know, honey, I really think you're going to do great in your life. You're not going to be a burden. You're not going to create problems. You can change that conversation because you're remembering it one way. There's no cosmic record of what was done. You're not altering anything except your memory. And when you bring it into the present, it alters the way you respond to the now. See, we've been taught to believe that this whole idea of living the way we live is somehow the way it should be done. Nobody told you that you had to respond from what you see. Nobody told you you have to respond from what you hear. These are all ideas that we picked up as children growing up in the culture we grew up to believe that's the way it is. Well, God's telling you, you make that decision. It's the way it is according to what you believe, not what somebody else believes. You make that decision. You are the authority. You are to have dominion. Nobody's going to care as much about you as you. So when you change your condition on the inside, things around you change. When you recognize that you've been responsible for what's going on, you start to recognize, well, if I'm responsible for what's going on, I can be responsible for changing what's going on. Take that role. Take that role. Take that authority. Because when you take that authority, life will change for you. And you won't have the same negative opinions about other people. You won't see other people as enemies. You'll recognize you have created those people in your world, and those people are to reflect the part of you that God wants you to change. When you react to a certain thing, that reaction is part of what needs to change in order for God to give you what your desire is. Did you hear me? Most of the time, what we desire from God takes longer because we're not capable of receiving it. Our personal realities, our ways that we respond to circumstances haven't changed enough to carry the weight of that glory. As children, we all believed in a future coming. Nothing is coming. Creation is finished. It's all done. When Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. You're not born with a future. You're born to create your future. Not by what other people say or not by what the circumstances dictate now, because those circumstances change the minute what you talk about on the inside changes. You're responsible for choosing the state of being in Him that is the kingdom. All heirs live in their finished, in their fulfilled desires. as an heir of the kingdom, everything in the kingdom is ours. Jesus said, it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did he not? As an heir, the kingdom. Do you know a king that's broke? Do you know a king that doesn't have everything at his disposal? That's who you are. That's who you are. So time is a mental construct that our minds use to organize change. We do not move through time. All things that ever existed or will are happening simultaneously in the present moment. This is what Christ is quoted as saying in Revelation. He is, was, and will ever be in the present moment. We already talked about superposition. Okay. The psychological time is living between linear, believing that there is a future that you have to prepare for. So you use the past, which is schooling and all the other things that we use, to prepare for a future. All of that keeps us in prison to believe that we're not spirit, that we can have whatever it is we want in the now. There's no planning for a future. There's no future coming. Hello, no future coming. When you live like that, you're never in the present moment. We use the past to validate our condition of lack, sickness, and disease. Then you think of a future and imagine possibility. That never comes because you just told God you don't believe He has already provided it. Whenever you pray and ask God to give you something, it's because you just dug up the seed, what you're believing, and told Him, I don't believe it. Whenever you ask God for something He's already given you, you're telling Him you don't believe He's already given it to you. So when we change our language and change the way we think, we'll start living right now and start saying, thank you, Father, I know I've got it. I don't care if I see it or not. What did Jesus tell Thomas? John 20:29. Look at this. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Are we Thomas? We don't have to see Him to believe Him. He says it, believe it. Your believing is the power, it's the consciousness of Christ that changes your physical condition. But you can't dig it up. You can't dig that seed up. If you live in a state of waiting or hoping, that state will become solid inside of you. That's what the world will say. Okay, that's what you believe you have to do. That believes you can never receive what you want because you're in a state of waiting or hoping. If you don't collapse time, you will remain in the false belief that time is real. If we keep searching for what we desire in the world of effects, nothing will change. What we see are the shadows, not what is. The physical realm is not the cause, it's the effect. I've said it over and over again, but I want you to get it. It's the mirror of what you believe. Don't try to change the mirror, change the source. When we look at the world and find lack or desire, and immediately remember the past to find a reason why you don't have what you want, then you imagine a future using the experience of the past to plot a trajectory that ultimately produces the past, never present. So let me say this different. If we use past experiences to project a future goal, then we won't have what we desire. We'll have a new expression of the past, and we'll just keep reliving in a circle. Nothing will change. So, like I said before, what you experience in the past I'm not going to tell you that it wasn't real for you. Your experience was real. What I'm telling you is the time that you lived in is not. That time didn't exist now. Doesn't exist now. The only thing that exists now is the present moment. So the time you experienced that past has gone. So that means you can change how you experienced that past, that conversation you had, those grades you got in school, the misspoken words from an associate or a friend or your husband, your wife, whatever it is you experienced in the past that left some kind of mark on you. You can change that conversation from the present state of being that says, okay, I created that person. Now I'm creating that person out of love. Since I had a hand in producing that person, now I can change that person from my present state of being to say something kind, to say something endearing, to say something uplifting. And when you change that conversation or that experience to produce something pleasant, it changes you now. You no longer have a grudge. You no longer see that person in the same light as you used to because you recognize you created that person in your world. You gave him that script that he read to you then. So give him another script. Here's something I practiced. Since I'm the director of my screenplay, and the people in my world are given a script by me, I go to the end of the script of what I want them to be or say, and I, in my mind's eye, in my inner being, I see them saying that script, the final scene, and it's a spectacular scene, and I feel it. Then I shut the curtain and walk away and know that it's done. So that person is going to act out my script exactly in the finished state that it was. And that screenplay is going to be absolutely wonderful because the state of being I'm in now, the person I am now, is not the person that wrote the script 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Rewrite your script because the people playing your roles have been given your script. Now, listen, I'm not calling these people puppets. They have their own life. They're directing their own screen. They're directing their own play. They are in my play because they are necessary to change who I am. The people in your world will do the same thing. Depending on where you are and what state of being you're in. And if you've changed rooms in your house from one state of being to another, growing up in the fullness and the stature of Christ, growing up with the understanding that you are the author, you have been given the power as a co-creator with the I am, who only talks about the present. The I am, that's who lives in you. That's who directs you if you listen. But your attention has to be on him. And that inner dialogue has to be surrounded by the resonant frequency that I am carries. And that's why you have to hear the words of Christ. That's why you have to study the words of Christ. They have to resonate inside your being to the point where that's the only frequency you're tuned into. Change that radio dial you've been listening to. Change those stations you've been listening to that tell you that you're a victim, or that you live in lack, or that the world is against you. It's a lie. It's not true. We've been hypnotized to believe it's true. It's not. We've talked about this a little bit, abundance versus lack. All of us have been programmed to believe the equation work equals money. Labor to receive, trade time for money. When we assume we must have a job to have money, that is the poverty mentality.
Spirit is source, but he gives us what we believe. That is free will. You're telling God money only comes by my effort. So I tried to convince what I was hearing. So if we're spirit beings, which we are the source of everything that we think we need. So if you need something, you plant the seed and you just trust God that that is going to bring a harvest. And everything else will fall in place. And as it's falling in place, you're changing room to room. Remember, I wrote a series of books called Ever Ascending. This is the result of understanding that process. Every room we go into, we change our state of being. So we keep moving state of being and are ascending back to where we were. What's our scripture in Ephesians? Just as he chose us in him, that's what we found in John 14, before the foundation of the world, before there was unbelief, before there was sin, before there was fear, that's the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Without blame. He chose us without blame and holy. That means anything you desire, it's holy according to him. It's holy. You don't have to blame yourself for wanting something if you're holy. Are you listening to me? All of these doctrines that have penetrated us from religion have to come off. We have to break this Old Testament mentality. Now, the world system is the Babylonian Caesar system, and it operates in the law. So we're using the principles of understanding that law is what confines people to believe the lie. That lie is that you need to work for Caesar, that he's the only one that's going to provide for you. Were you in him before the foundation of the world? Anybody raising their hands? I talked about this morning. No such thing as empty space. What do you get if you subtract a billion from infinity? You get a billion. I mean, you get infinity. You can't reduce infinity, and that's who we are. Our belief is infinity. Okay, I think I wrote a little of this in the letter about the glory of God that's already in the earth. And if you read some of the scriptures and some of the translations, it says that the waters will cover the earth. But the waters have covered the earth. That's why Jesus stuck around 40 days and told people that the kingdom of God is there and it's invisible. And God wants to give it to all those who were in him before the foundation of the world. That was his message to the disciples. So anyway, reread that letter. Okay, there's a lot more I want to talk about, and we may have another Zoom meeting before the conference, but if not, I'm going to speak on some very deep things in the conference. Those of you who have questions, if you want to send an email, Beloved, it's so good to see you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being our partner, and we look forward to seeing you very, very soon. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bye-bye now.
Bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.